Welcome to The Sunday Soother, a podcast, newsletter, and community about authentic living and compassionate personal development. I'm your host, Catherine Andrews, a life coach, online teacher, and writer focused on self-reflection, mindfulness, and how to create meaning in our everyday lives in practical ways. Join me weekly for conversations about personal growth, spirituality, self-discovery, and self-care, and how we can navigate this messy world with hope and humanity. Hi, everybody. It's Catherine, and welcome back to the Sunday Soother podcast. So I am here with some tarot magic for us today. And I'm teaching you this in support of my brand new tarot course, actually my first ever tarot course. Can you believe that? I was like creating this and I was like, holy crap, I've never actually taught a full-fledged tarot course. I've taught a few one-off workshops here and there and I incorporated into all of my work, but I've never broken out my tarot approach into a course. Anyways, all that to say, I've launched a new tarot course. It's called The Joyful Tarot, and it's all about helping you create fun and freedom inside of your tarot practice rather than fear and like rigid rules-based tarot reading. If you take the course, you're going to learn my intuitive style of reading. You're going to have community. We're going to be doing practices every week. It's going to be a very like hands-on course where when we're live together, we're actually practicing. We're not just kind of listening to me teach, though there will be some of my teaching. So I think it'll be super fun. It starts April 23rd and we're meeting Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern. Everything is recorded for replay. If you can't make it live, you know, that's totally fine. Though I know a lot of you really love the live groups and energies. And there's a private online community, all the good stuff I usually offer. It's only $197 right now with the 2-month payment plan option. And that goes up on April 17th. So that's this week. So get on in there if you haven't already enrolled in the Joyful Tarot. There's like nearly a dozen of you already in there. So I can tell this is going to be like a really great class. And if you're a European listener, do not despair. I mean, first off, you could join and watch the replays on your own. But I do plan maybe later this year, maybe 2025, in doing a daytime friendly, like a, you know, 12 p.m. Eastern course geared towards people for whom that time would be better too. I know evenings, 8 o'clock Eastern isn't always available to everybody. It's kind of the best time that works for me, but I want to, you know, spread around the joy. Okay. So let's talk about tarot. We're actually going to do this is I want you to go get your tarot deck if you don't have it. If you don't have a tarot deck, just listen. You're going to learn anyways. Don't worry about it. And the tarot deck that I use is the Rider-Waite-Smith tarot deck. It's kind of the basic. You can get it on at any online retailers. They probably sell it at Walmart, as far as I know. So it's super easily accessible. It is the starter deck that I recommend all of my students use. Though you don't have to, you trust your intuition, whatever feels good for you. And it's the deck that I use for my readings. I have other tarot decks. I love other tarot decks. There are other tarot decks that are more inclusive, more, you know, intuitive, more artistic, but this is just kind of the OG for me. And it's what I learned on and it's what I continue to use. So that's kind of the first rule of the Joyful Tarot, however, is just do whatever the fuck you want with tarot. Use the Rider-Waite, don't use the Rider-Waite. It really, like, this is why tarot is such an important self-trust practice, because I can give you guidelines. Other tarot teachers can give you guidelines. We can tell you what we think the cards mean, but ultimately this is a self-trust practice of looking inward. What deck actually feels good to you to use is kind of the first question we want to be asking here. Anyways, go get your tarot deck, and we're going to talk a little bit about how you can start to read tarot more intuitively and then also more literally. So we're going to kind of do two sides of the coin here. Because what I see people doing in tarot is trying to rote memorize every single deck in every single card in the deck. And that's good. It's good to know the kind of stereotypical general meanings of tarot, because you have to start somewhere. The cards have to start meaning something to you, and you may as well get like a baseline meaning for each card. But when we read tarot intuitively, cards will take on their own meaning that will be very specific to you over time. And when those cards pop up, you'll know a little bit more about what they're trying to say to you. And that's just going to take time and practice. You're going to have to do that over time. And that's why in the Joyful Tarot, we're going to be creating something called our Tarot Trapper Keepers. I think it was my friend. I can't remember. It was one of my friends, Emily or Rachel or Arlene. I can't remember who suggested that to me. And I think it's really cute because you have to keep track of what tarot cards mean to you in your life. And you have to keep your own little kind of lesson book, right? Because tarot cards are going to mean different things to different people. And this is kind of one of the things of intuitive tarot too, is that there is not going to be a 100% accurate card reading that's going to apply to everybody. I can pull the devil and it will mean one thing to me and it can mean an entirely different thing to you, and they are both correct. Okay. That's where we get into layers and context and, you know, experience and intuition around tarot. But it's not like there are no rules in tarot, and this is a wonderful thing, right? There are going to be people out there who tell you there are rules and that the card 100% always means this. And it's just, in my experience at least, it's just not true. Tarot is like the technology of the universe. It's a technology of the universe. And because it's so generous and brilliant and it's trying to teach us, it's going to adapt its uses of the cards for you. And so the devil is not always going to mean just one thing, because that's too limiting for a life, for a situation, for a question, for a population of 8 billion people, right? There's 8 billion people out there. If we were all reading tarot, we would have 8 billion different interpretations of the devil. There may be some similar underlying themes. Some people may share similar interpretations of the devil, and some people would have wildly different interpretations of the devil. The devil, you know, traditionally when you look up the card like the devil, it will tell you it's about addiction or materialism or addiction to materialism. And I have not found that to be true at all. I have found it to be addiction to what other people think of us. In short, codependency. So the devil card, when that pops up, it's that I am addicted to, my self-worth is chained to other people's perceptions of me, right? Codependency. Or my safety or my emotional state is chained to what other people think of me, people outside of me, right? You're probably not going to find that particular definition in a standard book or online, the devil card as a signal of codependency, but it's what I've learned over time. So first and foremost, when you read tarot in the joyful tarot way, you just got to know that it's going to take time because each card is going to mean different things to you. And then the other thing about this is actually really frustrating, is that sometimes the same cards will mean different things in different scenarios and different spreads. So there's layers and layers here. And this gets to be a really fun practice, right? That can sound kind of overwhelming. Oh my God, you're telling me that like I need to know, there's not a particular answer. There's not a like tarot dictionary out there that can 100% tell me what every single card means. It means I get every single card and spread and reading, right? No, there's not. But isn't that a gift? This is why tarot, it's like feng shui for me. It's one of my deepest and most beloved practices, because there are layers on layers on layers on layers, and you never get freaking bored of it because you are always learning more. New ways in which it has messages for you. New ways of reading. New connections, new ways of interacting with your deck. So it gets to be a lifelong practice, right? It's not a one and done. You are going to be practicing and evolving with tarot for the rest of your life, and that's absolutely a gift. Okay, so here's what we're going to do, though. We're going to do one simple spread to teach you one of the ways in which I intuitively read tarot. Now, let's clarify a little bit. When I say intuitively read, how maybe you know, or a stereotypical version of a reader, is that there is a particular spread, a spread being a set number of positions for which you draw the cards. Like a common tarot spread is three cards. The first card represents the past, the second card represents the present, and the third card represents the future. There may be other spreads like them, me, our challenge, right? And so each card would be assigned a particular meaning in the spread that you chose. Those can be powerful. And if you like reading that way, that's totally awesome. I do use spreads a lot of the time in my tarot readings when I am reading for clients or sometimes even myself. And it's a beautiful way to do it. However, when I'm reading more intuitively, I simply pull 2 to 5 cards and I look at what the cards are telling me through a storytelling and image-based lens. I want you to think about, have you ever gone to art museums? And probably some of you are like actually art experts and art historians out there, but do you know those like things from the Renaissance that are called triptychs? They're like 3-paneled middle-aged or Renaissance paintings, and there's like one painting on one panel on the left, and one painting on one panel on the center, and one painting on one panel on the right, and they're kind of hinged together. That's how I read tarot. I look at it like almost like a triptych or a painting or even a little bit of a movie when I'm reading more intuitively. So I will pull out usually it tends to be three cards, sometimes more, sometimes less. And I will look at the imagery on the tarot cards, and I will use what I know either of my own intuitive and like life experience meanings of the cards, combined with what I know to be more of the standard and stereotypical interpretations of the cards. And I try to build a story, right? There is a narrative here that is happening in tarot. So tarot is a connection to the universe, which is incredible. Like, whatever life force intelligence created all of this, right, is a pretty amazing thing. And at the same time, it's also a little bit limiting because there are only 78 cards in the deck. And there are, you know, only a limited set of images on each card. So you're working with an infinite, vast intelligence that's trying to communicate with us through 78 pictures. And that can be hard, right? And that can be challenging, but it also can be really useful. So what I want you to do is you can think of something at hand, a challenge you have at hand. And I want you to try this intuitive tarot spread with me. So if there's a particular question, a particular situation you're thinking of, think of that now. Let's call in our spirit guides, our higher selves, to help us channel the best wisdom through tarot that will help us address the situation in a way that benefits us and is for the highest good of all involved. And then I want you to just draw three cards. And for this time, let's not make them reversed. Just have them upright. I really don't encourage reversal reading, especially if you're newer to tarot. And if you still have a fearful and kind of limited in your own capacity or belief around tarot relationship, I don't recommend reversals because it kind of just makes you second guess yourself even more. And so you can just turn them upright. If you happen to pull any reversals, you're not breaking any rules. You have full permission to turn the cards upright, right? So pull three cards and let's look at them as an image together. So I didn't ask a question. I just asked tarot, you know, I'm going to pull a card spread of three cards that I would like to use to illustrate as an example of this more intuitive style of reading. So I got the Eight of Swords, the Five of Pentacles, and the Two of Cups. So if you'd really like to get down with me, you can pause this and pull out those three cards so you can look at them together. The Eight of Swords, the Five of Pentacles, and the Two of Cups. Okay, so what we're simply going to do is just look at these cards for a minute. We just want to let our eyes kind of roam over them. What do we notice about the cards? What do we notice about the colors, the places, the people? What do we notice about the orientation of the characters? I actually think a beautiful way of intuitively reading tarot is seeing, like, where are the characters looking at or walking towards, or where do they have their backs to, or what are they turning towards, right? So in this case, we start with the Eight of Swords, which is a woman blindfolded loosely in a circle, a semicircle of eight swords, kind of in a swampy, marshy looking area in front of a castle. In the middle, we have the Five of Pentacles. This is two kind of bedraggled looking people. One of them is on crutches. They kind of look like stereotypical beggars, I guess you would call them. And they're in the snow passing by a stained glass window of a church that has five pentacles on it. And in the third and final card, we have the Two of Cups. We have two people with cups turning towards each other in a very beautiful looking pastoral setting. They're reaching out towards one another. And they also have, like, I think it's called the caduceus symbol. Is that right? It's the two snakes and a lion that you often see in medical depictions. So what do we have going on here, right? Well, here's what each card, like, stereotypically means, which is still useful to have for each card. The Eight of Swords for me always means victim mindset. The Five of Pentacles, and I guess I shouldn't say always, because in different scenarios, you know, when you're reading more intuitively, it may mean something different. But generally, largely, the Eight of Swords to me means victim mindset. It's time to release victim mindset. The Five of Pentacles for me generally means I'm having low self-worth because I am comparing myself to something external outside of me. And the Two of Cups generally means loving self-partnership. It means I am waking up to the fact that I can turn towards a part of myself that might need my love and attention, part of myself that maybe I have previously shamed or ignored. And sometimes more traditionally, the Two of Cups will mean something like a classic romantic partnership or a friendship or a business partnership too. But for me, it generally means self-partnership. So altogether, kind of what's happening here, right? Like, what is the narrative here? We have a woman by herself, blindfolded, surrounded by swords. And in the next one, we have two people together. They don't look so great. They're not doing hot, but they're not blindfolded and trapped. And they're walking together in the snow. And then finally, we have two people who are looking very loving and peaceful together, turning towards one another. So what could be the message here, right? Like, well, just stop and think for yourself. And if you have the cards out, just look at them, right? There is no wrong answer. You really can't mess tarot up. And you do have to start guessing in order to learn to read this way. You can trust generally your first instinct. What are the first things that jump to mind that these cards are telling you, right? What is the story that is jumping to mind? And just take a second to journal a few notes down, right? And I mean, overall, what I would say classically is this is just kind of a journey of releasing self-limiting beliefs around self-worth and moving towards turning to loving parts of myself, right? It's not that crazy, not that, you know, intense or insane of a storyline, but it's like a progression almost, right? So if I was doing this reading for somebody else, that would be kind of what I would tell them. I would say it's time to turn towards parts of yourself that need some love and attention. And it looks like you're starting to release low self-worth and victim mindset. Where can we dive in and do a little bit more of that, right? So you may have drawn three separate cards, and that would be fun for you right now to pause this recording and do the same exercise with them. If you're looking at them as a triptych, as a painting, as a movie, as characters interacting with one another, what's happening? And really a simple place to start is just like in your notebook or in your journal or just in your mind, just jot down what is literally happening in each card. Imagine if this were, you know, I've always wondered how films do this. So if any of you are directors out there, you'll have to tell me. But I believe that films get storyboarded first, right? Like meaning that there are scenes that are placed together in some sort of order. And you can read the cards like that too, at least in my style of reading, right? So if this were a storyboard of a movie, what is the story that's going on? If these were plot points in a journey, what are the plot points that are going on? How are the characters interacting? How do they change from card to card, right? So try that out. And see, you know, it's a practicing style. It's one that I've come up with that really works for me. And it may or may not really land or work for you. And also, that's the beautiful thing about tarot. You will eventually find the style of reading that works really well for you. And it will probably be different from mine. And that doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It just means that it's yours. We have to start thinking of tarot like, let's see, like cooking, right? How many cooks are there in this world? I mean, there's got to be so many, right? And if you asked every cook in the world to make a roast chicken, they would have some of the basic ingredients, number one being a chicken, right? But they would all probably use slightly different ingredients and slightly different methods and have different outcomes. And that's like tarot being the chicken in this metaphor here. Different tarot readers are supposed to have different styles, different interpretations, different things that work well for them. And it doesn't mean it's not valid. Just like any cook that is cooking a roast chicken, there's going to be some basics that are involved. You know, you want the meat probably to hit a certain temperature that's safe for consumption. Probably there's going to be some sort of form of like butter or oil. But other than that, it's kind of up to interpretation for the cook, for the best way to make the roast chicken. And they're going to be making that chicken based on maybe how their father taught them to roast chicken, the things they learned in culinary school, if they went to culinary school, their own life experience, their personal preference, right? And the end result will probably still be like a delicious roast chicken for most people. So you got to start thinking of tarot in that way, right? Like filtering it through you. What is your training? What is your lived experience? What is your personal preference? What have you learned from, you know, different teachers and mentors who have taught you tarot, right? You can weave that all in too. And what do you know at your core? What do you know just because it's something that you know? Just like some chefs probably just know that it's great to use oregano in chicken. I don't know anything about cooking. You can know that certain cards just mean something to you because you just know it. All right. So that's about like reading tarot intuitively. Now, there's one other little lesson here I'll give you, and that's reading tarot literally. And what do I mean by that? This is how I use tarot in my feng shui readings and practices. When I'm doing different spreads or different ways of asking about a client's home using tarot, tarot then transforms to something quite literal, meaning it is trying to tell me the answer through the specific images on the tarot deck. Okay. And here's a couple of examples. So I was doing a feng shui consultation, a one-off 90-minute feng shui consultation with a client last week. And one of the cards I drew that was, according to the way I was reading tarot, looked like kind of the core issue at her home. And it was the Nine of Swords. I'm house sitting and niece nephew sitting for my brother and sister-in-law, and they have a little doggy Ace, and he just kind of got crazy at the door. Anyways, so she drew the Nine of Swords. So the Nine of Swords, like in a more traditional tarot reading, would be about fear-based thinking. But when I get the Nine of Swords, I was like, there's either something hanging over her head, or there is a bed or a chair that is the issue, and the better chair might have flowers on it. Because pull out the Nine of Swords from your deck if you get a chance. Literally, what's hanging over somebody is nine sharp swords, and then they're also laying on a very narrow bed. So as I explored with her what was going on, it turns out she had an old chaise lounge, how do you say that word, that belonged to her mother. And for a variety of reasons, it was quite clear that this chaise lounge like needed to go and was blocking a lot of the energy in her house. And it also was like a floral chaise lounge. So in this case, tarot sometimes will be using itself quite literally to help you get the answer, right? For me, it's in feng shui, but sometimes it's trying to point to something specific. And that can be a little bit harder to read, right? Because it is working with a limited set of images in order to try to convey whatever, like the very literal and specific thing it's wanting you to know is. So I find it very useful for feng shui because there's actually a fair amount of furniture in the tarot, mostly seats, you know, but there's some homes. The cups will mean water for me. The swords will mean metal. The wands will mean wood. And the pentacles can mean really anything because they're kind of earth. But I also use it to read the Bagua map, which has different associations too. So those are just two styles of reading that can be really, really fun, right? We have like a very intuitive story-based looking at the characters in three or so tarot cards and trying to suss out in our mind, what is the story that tarot is trying to tell us? What is the evolution? What is the progression? What are the characters doing? What is the imagery on the cards, right? And then so that's like very intuitive, right? And then there's a very literal, which is like, oh, you're showing me a chair. I need to look at a chair in my client's home. And this is what I love about tarot. It is endlessly adaptable. It is a technology that you can program. It is artificial intelligence, except it's not artificial, it's universal intelligence. But we can think about it like artificial intelligence in that it will adapt to us and our preferences and the ways we use it and what we ask of it. We can ask things of tarot. We can say, I don't want to read reversals. And you will find over time that tarot will stop serving you reversals, right? So these are like the endlessly fascinating, joyful, interesting, fun learning ways of tarot that we can all use together. So I invite you to join me in the Joyful Tarot for this sort of tarot reading, right? Like learning how to read confidently based on your intuition, your joy, and your connection with your deck in highest service of all, of yourself, of your higher self, of any people that you choose to read for, and knowing that tarot always supports you. It always has fun for you. It always has insight for you. And it's really just about learning to trust ourselves with the deck too. So I hope you'll consider joining me in the Joyful Tarot. The link is in the show notes. And I hope this was fun. I'd love to hear any of your reactions. If this was useful, you can always DM me on Instagram at Catherine Andrews or email me Catherine@CatherineDAndrews.com. And I'll talk to you soon. That's it for this week's Sunday Soother. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you have a moment, go on over to iTunes and leave me a 5-star review. That's how other people find this podcast and the message of hope and compassionate personal growth I'm hoping to spread to many more people just like you. You can find me on Instagram at Catherine Andrews and find out more about The Sunday Soother at thesundaysoother.com. You can also check out my services, courses, and coaching at catherinedandrews.com. Have a great day ahead.